Blog Talk Radio.
I can feel. Joy, great joy. I'm filled with joy, and I came to get more joy, and I'm going to get it tonight. I'm going to get mine. The Lord has a word for you and you and me, and I came to get my joy. Anytime I'm in the presence of the Lord, anytime the word has been spoken by a child of God that he has stepped inside of and dwelling inside of, I know I'm going to get my joy. I know I'm going to get my peace. I'm going to get what I need. I need more strength, more power. Here it is. Do you want it? Come get it. God said the word is here. Taste and see that the word is good. And I'm hungry tonight, and I want to be fed. I come to be fed from the word of God. You know what? With so many things in the world that's extending their forks and their spoons and even some butter knives and whatever else out there to feed you with. But you know, it's a poisonous thing. Everything that tastes good at the beginning doesn't mean it's going to go down good. It doesn't mean it's going to settle in your spirit well. It doesn't mean it's going to neutralize your body. But when you come and you taste and see that the word, I'm telling you, the word is good. Hallelujah, God is good. And it sets on you right. It feels good when it's going down, and it contains you. It builds you up when you're weak. And you know what? It never leaves you. It stays right there. And you want more? There's more. Hallelujah. There's no limited quantities. You don't have to have a coupon. All you got to have is an open heart, and it is yours. So I invite you to come and be a part of this great thing, okay? This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I come here from San Antonio, Texas, to say thank you, Jesus, just for another opportunity to share the word with you and you and you, wherever you may be. I love hearing from you. We had some great response. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all of the ones that's out there for the families. We're continuing to pray for our families. So we're doing it tomorrow night, and we're doing it on Friday. And those that's on the conference line, of course, you can always jump online here in the chat rooms here also. So let's get started, shall we? Our scripture tonight is going to come out of the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 5. We're doing 1 through 11. So feel free to jump in there and revere with me. We're talking about starting over. We're continuing where we at with the forgiveness and how to face it and fix the issues and looking at things with a new perspective. And starting over is where we're at tonight. And so we're wanting you to jump right in with us as we read over again into Luke. And it's going to be Luke 5, going 1 through 11. And let's go ahead and get started and hear what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. God bless you all. Thank you, Jesus. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So it's very important. Let's hear this with the Spirit. So the two ships are standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep and let down your nets for a drop. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net nearly break. And they beckoned upon their partners, which were in the other ships, and they had that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the ships, so that they began to sink, so much was in their ships. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which was partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. Luke 5, 1 and 11. I tell you, so many people just really going to want to. You're going to want to hold on to this one. This word you're going to want to hold on to. You're going to carry this here with you. He said, and so many words he's just given to us in this passage. Now, one of the most disturbing attitude believers have is that it's over. That's how we started out. It's, you know, we're needing to forgive ourselves and others for whatever life has brought up on you. And so many times we just consider that it's over. Even as believers, we just believe in our hearts that it's over. We're never going to go any farther, that this is it. We can forget about all of those dreams that we know that, you know, we have had in our heart for years and years, and some since childhood. We can forget about them now because of this has happened and that has happened. I just don't believe that it's going to ever come to pass. I believe that it's over, and I'm going to go ahead and get myself situated for that. I can't move any farther now. This is as far as it's going to go. But, you know, God still has a plan for you according to Jeremiah 29:11, and he knows those plans that he has for you. And for sure, those plans is not to harm you, but they're to prosper you. Anybody looking for prosperity, the word says that they're to prosper you. We resign ourselves many times to situations based upon what we view as facts. We conclude that there was nothing else that could be done in the situation. It's disturbing sometimes because we as believers of God are not to walk by sight, but we are supposed to be walking by faith. So it gets disturbing. It gets frustrating to see believers continually beat themselves down and give up. And then we shout all around the church and we sing our heart and entertain each other with our voices. But do we really know what we're singing? Do we really understand what the preacher is preaching when we're hollering and hooping? Do we really believe the words that has been coming out, or are we just merely so used to entertaining each other? It's such a tradition now that we just don't know what else to do. But I beg you to just stop, break all transitions right now, and just start a new thing. Let's start believing what we say. Any word to come out of our mouth, look at that word and really focus on it and see, is this something that I'm really going to be able to believe? Before you accept that song in the choir, now, the choir director, I want you to look and see, is this something that my people are really going to believe? Is this just an entertainment packet, or is this a real thing? Because if you look at it, son, my sister, it's time to get real. What you've done in your past, leave it there. But it's time to get real now. It's time to change your way of thinking. Change your thought pattern. Hallelujah. Let's bring it to the past. So the frustrating thing, of course, again, is just to work hard at something, and then what you expect from that labor doesn't come true. And the flesh gets so frustrated. It's natural. We're all in this thing together, remember? It causes us to feel hopeless and helpless in the situations. We get the attitude that there is nothing else that we can do that is going to help us. But, again, just don't let the devil convince you that you just have to give up. Don't let him convince you that just because you didn't have success on the first go-around, that you have to walk away from what God has already promised you. God does not want quitters, and you don't want to be a quitter. You got to make sure that you understand that you've got to have the God kind of faith, the God kind of determination. so that it doesn't make any difference how many times you've missed the mark. You're not going anywhere until you get what you came for. As Jacob wrestled with the angel, he said, hold on, you know what? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, until I get what I came for. I can't. We got to be determined. I don't care how long it's taking you to get that degree. You've got to hang in there. Do not let go until you get what you came for. And if you want it bad enough, you really want it bad enough, you're tired of staying up at night dreaming about it. You're tired of looking out your door and watching everybody else graduate, watching everybody else do the things, the very thing that you know that you had in your mind that God has planted for you to start, for you to do. If you want it bad enough, then you just make up in your mind that you're going to do it, something about it. I'm going to do something about it. You cannot walk away from it. You can't put the tail between your legs. You can't have a pity party or get stuck in that pity party. But you must learn that everyone has made mistakes. Everyone has tried to do something that has failed. You got to pick yourself up, bring it to your past, and start over. Can you imagine how many times Babe Ruth struck out before he started hitting home runs? But he always came back to the plate. Can you imagine how many times Michael Jordan shot bricks before he got that perfect shot? He kept going back to the court. You've got to make up your mind. I'm going to keep coming back until I get what God has for my life. There's a God-ordained destiny for your life. As long as there is breath in your body, you can start over. As long as you have the possibility of another day, you can start over. Jesus stood by that lake, and he saw two ships by the lake. Let's break that down a little bit. Two ships by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of the ships because they were washing their nets. See, they had been fishing all day long, all night long, but they caught nothing but frustration. So they were cleaning their nets. They were through for the day. They were giving up. They were hanging it up for the day. And now washing the nets, we must tell you a little bit about, because washing the nets is just a tedious process. If you had caught something, it would be justified, you know, going through the tedious process of washing your nets. But when you find yourself washing the nets when you have caught nothing, it seems even more tedious somehow. That is where the people are today. Perhaps you're carrying around a burden of washing nets. You've done all that you can do, but you have caught nothing. You have that washing your net attitude, mentality at this point in your life. You may feel that you've tried to make it work. You've labored over it. You've done all that you've known, but nothing came out of it. So you're tired. You're so tired you can't even pray right now. You may be saying to yourself, I'm through. I'm just going to go ahead and wash my nets. I'm through. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm going to go ahead and give up on this process. I know I'm supposed to be working, but I'm going to go ahead and just wash my nets. I'm through. I'm tired of living like this. I want to take my own life. I'm washing my nets. I'm tired of living in this hell. I'm through. I'm washing my nets. I'm tired of sitting here praying for this loved one that still doesn't seem to be coming around, but digging me down now in the hole with them. You know what? I'm through. I'm washing my nets. I'm tired of trying to climb this corporate ladder. I'm tired of trying to make this marriage work. I'm tired of trying to settle and do the things that I know is right when everyone around me is doing the wrong things. I'm washing my nets. I'm through. I'm hanging it up. Sister, remember who you are. You are a child of God. Jesus didn't throw up his hands. You know the word, how they did him. They talked about him. They lied on him. They spat on him. What do you think they're going to do for us? But you can believe we have victory. You are a child of God. And don't ever let the devil cause you to walk away from your destiny and start washing your nets. You cannot give up on what God has for your life. Shame on us all for just sitting back and talking about, I'm giving up. There's nothing that can be done just because the doctor said this here. I'm giving up. We start running around telling everybody about the doctor said that, you know, there's nothing else that can be done. And we never let the word, and then at the end we may say, you know, God's will be done. You're washing your nets, throwing up your hands, giving up. I'm giving up. Nothing can be done. Man's extremities, and I know it seems like it's to the extreme, but man's extremity is God's opportunity. So when you're at the end of your rope, it's still God's opportunity to fill your nets. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. And just when you have done all that you can do, all that you can do, that's when you ought to turn over to Jesus. That's when you ought to just turn it over to Jesus. You'll find him patiently waiting there in line. As you tried and went through all of the other obstacles and things, but he's always been there with a solution right there offered up, extending his hands of solution to you. Another opportunity, another day of grace, another day of his mercy. The men were out of their boats when Jesus showed up. They may be where you are right now. You have left your ship. You've left the place where God wants you. You've let the frustration just run your way. We need to have the kind of faith that says, I'm going to stay here until I catch something. Because I'd rather be in the will of God, catch nothing, than to be outside of his will, washing my nets. The fishermen were spending more energy and time on that, which represented quitting for the day, rather than using that energy on that which represented success. I come to ask you, sir, ma'am, right now, look over that situation again and decide today to stop washing your nets. It's not time. Stop washing your nets. If your nets is not full, it's not time to wash. There is something else God wants you to do. You may have frustration. You haven't got what you wanted. You thought it was going to come to you by now. It is not, but it's still not time to wash your nets. Jesus entered the ships. When Jesus showed up, everything, whatever the situation you're in, is going to change. So the men are out of the ships and they're washing their nets, but Jesus gets on their ships. And when he gets on those ships, everything began to change. Whenever Jesus is, wherever he is, whenever he steps in that situation, there's a possibility. Remember, they would throw up their hands. They was washing their nets. No opportunities, no possibilities. But now Jesus has stepped into that boat. Wherever he is, there is hope. Jesus entered into one of the ships, and he told Simon Peter, he said, push out just a little from the land. And then he sat down and began to teach. Now, first of all, Jesus got into what they had abandoned. He got into what they had abandoned, their ships, their transportation to their destiny. They needed their ships to get out to the deep, to get their destiny, the fish. But they had abandoned their transportation, which they needed to get to their destiny. So he got into their ships. Jesus is the Word. Remember, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, what does John 1, 1 through 14 tells us? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. So when Jesus got into the ship, what does that mean? It means that the Word got into the ships. Is that right? Jesus is the word, right? So it's about to get into the relationship, friendship, fellowship, your stewardship, because if Jesus is not in the ship, then you're on a hard ship. But Jesus is the word. And the reason why a lot of us don't catch what we're supposed to catch is we're not successful is because we don't let the word come into our ship. We have everybody and everything else in our ship. We're telling everybody that are listening about our situation. We have everybody thinking that the, you know, it's over. But the thing that is most needed to be in your situation, in your, on your ship, is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was made flesh. So you say, if he lives inside of you, then the word is inside of you. When God gets inside of your ship, there's possibilities, there's hope. You've got everybody speaking in your ship. Everybody's telling you what they think you should do, what they would do, woulda, shoulda, coulda. Everybody's hanging around in your ship. You need to make sure that Jesus is aboard your ship. And when the Lord, the Word, gets on your ship, don't think it's strange when he starts pushing you away from some of those people that you have on your ship. Don't think it's strange when he starts pushing you away from doubters. When he starts pushing you away from the negativity. Don't think it's strange when he starts getting ready to do different positive things in your life. See, people that are in the banks, they may not understand what God is getting ready to take you through. What he's getting ready to do in your life cannot be found on the banks. But it's on the sea. So don't get comfortable up on the banks. You got to push out a little bit from the banks. And if you've got to understand what God wants to do in your life, it's on the water. God is pushing you away from the banks. Whatever the word gets in your ship, all he begins to teach. He pushes you away from that bank, and he begins to teach to any and all that are listening, all around you. They can now see the difference in you. They see something different about you. The devil has tried to prevent you from hearing the word of God. But God is raising up a people in this day and time who really want to know his word. He has gone too long without understanding this Bible. We have gone, churches have just are deteriorating all around us because we're getting away from the word. We're getting more into what man thinks, our own understanding. But the Bible tells us to lean not to our own understanding. I know the way of the world may seem right to man, but the word is still the way and the truth and the light. It doesn't change. We've gone too long without getting a true understanding of the Bible. And we've gone to church too long. And we've not gotten the full word of God. People are getting tired of that now. People that have been in the same church 20 and 30 years are leaving because they want the word. They want to understand the Bible because the word will help them make sense of their lives. My breakthrough is in the word because I understand that faith comes by hearing, and then hearing comes by the word of God. Isn't that what Romans 10 tells us? Jesus began to teach. He didn't holler. He didn't get all upset, but he taught. He taught them out of what they abandoned. Their ships that was the transportation to their destiny. He's sitting there on the ships that they had abandoned, teaching. He brought the word into what they had given up on. And that's what God will do for you. He will bring a word into that thing that you just gave up on. the thing that you gave up on, to let you know that you can start over. When you step out, he steps in. When you step out, he steps in. So whatever you step out of, he will step into. He will bring you back into it to let you know that there's still possibilities, my friend. We can assume that Jesus taught them that they what they was doing wrong. It's not that the fish were not available to them. The problem was the method they was using. Nothing was wrong with the fish. But what caught fish for you yesterday, it may not catch fish for you today. You can't catch today's blessings with yesterday's methods. You're trying to do it the way that your neighbor did it. The method they use may not work for you today. But God has your own pathway already laid out for you. While you're running behind the movie stars, the entertainers, you're running behind someone else's life. They're doing the same thing you are, trying to start over, trying to find the pathway of righteousness. You got to move on out. Now, when Jesus finished teaching, and we're going to try to wrap this series up here, and if we don't, we'll start it again tomorrow. But when Jesus finished teaching, he told the fishermen, he said, now launch out into the deep. Now, he started by telling them, just move out some from the banks. Now, he's telling them to launch out into the deep. We assume if Jesus told them to launch out into the deep that they had already been fishing in shallow waters. Because he's telling them that you're too shallow. I need you to launch out into the deep. Now, this could be a part of the problem also. In shallow waters, your boat is bound to get bruised by the different rocks and all the different things. Your boat may even get stuck there in the shallow waters, but if you've been trying to get your blessing in shallow waters, perhaps you've gotten stuck in certain situations that you can't get yourself out of, and you always end up getting wounded and getting damaged because you're in shallow waters. But stop trying to get your blessings in those shallow waters. If you want to catch a tadpole, then, you know, you can hang out there in the shallow waters. But if you want the big blessings, you got to go out into the deep. I'm kind of frustrated. I'm tired of shallow water blessings. I'm tired of shallow friendships and shallow relationships and shallow situations. I want the deep blessing now. I want everything that God has for me. I'm coming out of shallow waters. What God has for me is in the deep. Come on now. Somebody just need to repeat that. I'm coming out now. I'm coming out of shallow waters. What God has for me is in the deep. I want everything that God has for me. There's another problem with shallow water. All the debris that comes from the sea is dumped out there in the shallow waters. See, all of the junk is at the bank in the shallow waters. The deep has a way of washing it towards the shore. If you're dwelling in shallow waters, you're settling for stuff that the deep doesn't even want. You ever been out in the ocean? And, of course, we have to stay up on the shallow waters in the ocean, right? And all of the different stuff just comes up there forever, just all around you. The things that the sea, the ocean doesn't want, the deep doesn't want, so it releases it to where? Up there to where you're at. And that is all around you. Where are you standing at right now? You're praying and you're trying, but where are you? Have you cast your net out into the deep? Are you playing it safe? I know you're still standing here on the banks. Or have you stepped out and now you're looking at the other ones on the bank, but you're afraid to go on out in the deep, so you're right there in the shallow waters, all of the different stuff that you didn't even want. and you say, well, I'm out here trying to represent God. I'm trying to live right. And it's people up on the banks that are doing better than me. God, how is this possible? What's going on? Perhaps he's telling you because I asked you to come on out and trust me. Go on out there and apply for that position that I know you think that you're not qualified for. If you're in those shallow waters, you're never going to get what was purposed for you in the deep. You're selling for stuff that the deep doesn't even want. You got to stay out of the junky place. You've got to stay out of the nasty places in the shallow water. You've got to launch out into the deep, even if you have to do it by yourself. Even if you fall down getting out there, you got to continue to get back up. I want to be in the deep with my relationships. I want to be in the deep in my spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm tired of being in shallow waters. I'm tired of shallow water people. What happens is, notice this now. See, the junk that gets in the middle of the sea gets moved towards the shore. We said that. So the deep cannot stand the junk, so it sends it over to the shallows, right? So when you get deep in God and the shallow stuff start coming to you, you won't be comfortable around it any longer. If you're wondering what's going on inside of you, why your spirit is so troubled, why you're feeling like you're feeling, it may be because you've got too much shallow stuff all around you. And God is trying to tell you that stuff will make you sick until you get away from it or you get it out of your life, get it away from you. A lot of flood tides of God's word to just wash it away to the shallow places. Whenever God blesses you, it should lead you to worship. When God blesses you, the ultimate end of blessing is that it will lead to worship. Praise should lead you to a greater knowledge of who he is. Therefore, creating within you a worship for just who God truly is. So regardless of your next situation, my sister and brother, you're not actually responding to what he does. You're responding to who he is. When God blesses me, he blesses me because he's trying to lead me into worship. That's why he turns things around in my life. He turns me to say thank you. He's waiting on me to say thank you. He wants me to say thank you, but I'm not responding to God based on what God does for me, but based on the knowledge of what he has done. I have gained the knowledge, my friend, of who he truly is to me. So regardless of what he does, something or not, I know too much about him to doubt him. So I worship him for just who he is. For just who he is, I worship him. And we're going to close by reminding you, Simon said to Jesus, he said, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. How many times have we said things like that? I have taken this test 3 times and caught nothing. This is the 5th time I have asked them for a promotion, and I've caught nothing. I have tried to make this relationship work, and I could not get anything out of it. I mowed the yard. I did everything they asked, and I've caught nothing. We've got to get ourselves in a mindset that we're not going to give up. We got to get to a place that says, nevertheless, I'm going to keep on casting my net. Nevertheless, I'm going to still go forward. Nevertheless, I will not give up. Nevertheless, I know what's ahead of me is what we should keep our eyes on. My reward is ahead of me. My feet is planted in front of me for a reason. I have no reason to keep turning around looking behind me. It's nothing back there but pillars of salt. And I don't want to get caught up in my past and get me stuck right here that I can't even move towards my future. Somebody's really tired right now being in those shallow waters, standing on the banks. And if you're ready to cast your net, stop washing your nets and throwing up your hands and giving up. If you're ready to start over, this may be your first time coming to the Lord, and it may be just you just wanting to get a stronger understanding and get strength in the areas that you're working in right now. I encourage you to bow your heads and repeat after me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, I come to you. God, I believe that you are the head of my life, of all creation, that you gave your Son, and that he died for me. He shed his blood to cover my sins. I accept him now as my Lord and Savior, and I invite you to come live inside of me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Let no man hold you back from what God has for you. Step up off of the bank. Push yourself away from some of the ones that's been casting doubt in your life, from the ones who's telling you, only I'm going to be successful, not you. Don't be surprised when God starts working miracles. This is Evangelist Von Dumas, and I thank you for allowing me to come into your homes tonight. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com or 210-253-9093. God bless you. We love you. Until the next time, goodbye.
Choices I made, good and bad, still ain't remade. And so I wait to see how it lays. I don't